Chapter 33. Fifth Street was more or less a replica of Fourth Street, except that it was residential on both sides. Trees, yards, picket fences, mailboxes, small, neat houses, resting quietly in the moonlight. A nice place to live, probably. Vaughn's house was close to the eastern limit, nearer Kansas than despair. It had a plain aluminum mailbox out front, mounted on a store-bought wooden post. The post had been treated against decay. The box had Vaughn written on both sides with stick-on italic letters. They had been carefully applied and were perfectly aligned. Rare, in Reacher's experience. Most people seemed to have trouble with stick-on letters. He imagined that the glue was too aggressive to allow the correction of mistakes. To get seven letters, each side level and true, spoke of meticulous planning. Maybe a straight edge had been taped in position first and then removed. The house and the yard had been maintained to a high standard, too. Reacher was no expert, but he could tell the difference between care and neglect. The yard had no lawn. It was covered with golden gravel, with shrubs and bushes pushing up through the stones. The driveway was paved with small ribbon slabs that seemed to be the same color as the gravel. The same slabs made a narrower, winding walkway to the door. More slabs were set here and there in the gravel, like stepping stones. The bushes and the shrubs were neatly pruned. Some of them had small flowers on their branches, all closed up for the night against the chill. The house itself was a low, one-story ranch, maybe 50 years old. At the right-hand end was a single attached garage, and at the left was a T-shaped bump-out that maybe housed the bedrooms, one front, one back. Reacher guessed the kitchen would be next to the garage, and the living room would be between the kitchen and the bedrooms. There was a chimney. The siding and the roof tiles were not new, but they had been replaced within living memory and had settled and weathered into pleasant maturity. A nice house. An empty house. It was dark and silent. Some drapes were halfway open and some were all the way open. No light inside except a tiny green glow in one window. Probably the kitchen, probably a microwave clock. Apart from that, no sign of life, nothing. No sound, no subliminal hum, no vibe. Once upon a time, Reacher had made his living storming darkened buildings, and more than once it had been a matter of life or death to decide whether they were occupied or not. He had developed a sense, and his sense right then was that Vaughn's house was empty. So where was David Robert? At work? Possibly. Maybe they both worked nights. Some couples chose to coordinate their schedules that way. Maybe David Robert was a nurse or a doctor, or worked night construction on the interstates. Maybe he was a journalist or a print worker involved with newspapers. Maybe he was in the food trade, getting stuff ready for morning markets. Maybe he was a radio DJ, broadcasting through the night on a powerful AM station. Or maybe he was a long-haul trucker, or an actor, or a musician, and was on the road for lengthy spells. Maybe for months at a time. Maybe he was a sailor, or an airline pilot. Maybe he was a state policeman. Vaughn had asked, "Don't I look married?" "No," Reacher thought. "You really don't. Not like some people do." He found a leafy cross street and walked back north to 2nd Street. Vaughn's truck was still parked where he had left it. The diner's lights were spilling out all over it. He walked another block and came out on 1st Street. There was no cloud in the sky. Plenty of moon. To his right there was silvery flatness all the way to Kansas. To his left the Rockies were faintly visible, dim and blue and bulky, with their north-facing snow channels lit up like ghostly blades, impossibly high. The town was still and silent and lonely. Not quite 11:30 in the evening, and no one was out and about, no traffic, no activity at all. Reacher was no kind of an insomniac, but he didn't feel like sleep. Too early. Too many questions. He walked a block on First Street and then headed south again toward the diner. He was no kind of a social animal either, but right then he wanted to see people, and he figured the diner was the only place he was going to find any. He found four. The college girl waitress, an old guy in a seed cap eating alone at the counter, a middle-aged guy alone in a booth with a spread of tractor catalogs in front of him, and a frightened Hispanic girl alone in a booth with nothing. Dark, not blonde, Vaughn had said, sitting around and staring west like she's waiting for word from despair. She was tiny. She was about 18 or 19 years old. She had long, center-parted, jet-black hair that framed a face that had a high forehead and enormous eyes. The eyes were brown and looked like twin pools of terror and tragedy. Under them were a small nose and a small mouth. Richard guessed she had a pretty smile, but didn't use it often, and certainly hadn't used it for weeks. Her skin was mid-brown, and her pose was absolutely still. Her hands were out of sight under the table, but Richard was sure they were clasped together in her lap. She was wearing a blue San Diego Padres warm-up jacket with a blue scoop-neck T-shirt under it. There was nothing on the table in front of her. No plate, no cup. But she hadn't just arrived. The way she was settled meant she must have been sitting there for 10 or 15 minutes at least. Nobody could have gotten so still any faster. Reacher stepped to the far side of the register, and the college girl waitress joined him there. Reacher bent his head at an angle, universal body language for, "I want to talk to you quietly." The waitress moved a little closer and bent her own head at a parallel angle like a co-conspirator.
"That girl," Reacher said.
"Didn't she order?" The waitress whispered,
"She has no money."
"Ask her what she wants. I'll pay for it." He moved away to a different booth, where he could watch the girl without being obvious about it. He saw the waitress approach her, saw incomprehension on the girl's face, then doubt, then refusal. The waitress stepped over to Reacher's booth and whispered,
"She says she can't possibly accept."
Reacher said, "Go back and tell her there are no strings attached. Tell her I'm not hitting on her. Tell her I don't even want to talk to her. Tell her I've been broken hungry too." The waitress went back. This time, the girl relented. She pointed to a couple of items on the menu. Reacher was sure they were the cheapest choices. The waitress went away to place the order, and the girl turned a little in her seat and inclined her head in a courteous little nod, full of dignity, and the corners of her mouth softened like the beginnings of a smile. Then she turned back and went still again. The waitress came straight back to Reacher, and he asked for coffee. The waitress whispered,
"Her check is going to be $9.50. Yours will be $1.50.
Reacher peeled a 10 and 3 ones off the roll in his pocket and slid them across the table. The waitress picked them up and thanked him for the tip and asked,
"So when were you broke and hungry?"
"Never," Reacher said. "My whole life I got 3 squares a day from the army, and since then I've always had money in my pocket."
"So you made that up just to make her feel better?"
"Sometimes people need convincing."
"You're a nice guy."
"Not everyone agrees with that."
"But some do."
"Do they?"
"I hear things."
"What things?" But the girl just smiled at him and walked away. From a safe distance, Reacher watched the Hispanic girl eat a tuna melt sandwich and drink a chocolate milkshake. Good choices, nutritionally. Excellent value for his money. Protein, fats, carbs, some sugar. If she ate like that every day, she would weigh 200 pounds before she was 30, but in dire need on the road, it was wise to load up. After she was finished, she dabbed her lips with her napkin and pushed her plate and her glass away and then sat there just as quiet and still as before.
The clock in Reacher's head hit midnight, and the clock on the diner's wall followed it a minute later. The old guy in the seed cap crept out with a creaking, arthritic gait, and the tractor salesman gathered his paperwork together and called for another cup of coffee. The Hispanic girl stayed put. Reacher had seen plenty of people doing what she was doing, in cafes and diners near bus depots and railroad stations. She was staying warm, saving energy, passing time. She was enduring. He watched her profile and figured she was a lot closer to Zeno's ideal than he was. The unquestioning acceptance of destinies. She looked infinitely composed and patient. The tractor salesman drained his final cup and gathered his stuff and left. The waitress backed away to a corner and picked up a paperback book. Reacher curled his fist around his mug to keep it warm. The Hispanic girl stayed put. Then she moved. She shifted sideways on her vinyl bench and stood up all in one smooth, delicate motion. She was extremely petite, not more than 5-0, not more than 90-some pounds. Below the T-shirt, she was wearing jeans and cheap shoes. She stood still and faced the door, and then she turned toward Reacher's booth. There was nothing in her face, just fear and shyness and loneliness. She came to some kind of a decision and stepped forward and stood off about a yard and said,
"You can talk to me if you really want to."
Reacher shook his head. "I meant what I said."
"Thank you for my dinner."
Her voice matched her physique. It was small and delicate. It was lightly accented, but English was probably her primary language. She was from Southern California, for sure. The Padres were probably her home team. Reacher asked, "You okay for breakfast tomorrow?" She was still for a moment while she fought her pride, and then she shook her head. Reacher asked, "Lunch? Dinner tomorrow?" She shook her head. "You okay at the motel?"
"That's why. I paid for 3 nights. It took all my money."
"You have to eat." The girl said nothing. Reacher thought, $10 a meal is $30 a day. 3 days makes 90 plus 10 for contingencies or phone calls makes 100. He peeled 5 ATM fresh 20s off his roll and fanned them on the table. The girl said,
"I can't take your money. I couldn't pay it back."
"Pay it forward instead." The girl said nothing. "You know what pay it forward means?"
"I'm not sure."
"It means years from now you'll be in a diner somewhere and you'll see someone who needs a break. So you'll help them out." The girl nodded.
"I could do that."
"So take the money." She stepped closer and picked up the bills.
"Thank you."
"Don't thank me. Thank whoever helped me way back, and whoever helped him before that, and so on."
"Have you ever been to this fair?"
4 times in the last 2 days.
"Did you see anyone there?"
"I saw lots of people." She moved closer still and put her slim hips against the end of his table. She hoisted a cheap vinyl purse and propped it on the laminate against her belly and unsnapped the clasp. She dipped her head and her hair fell forward. Her hands were small and brown and had no rings on the fingers or polish on the nails. She rooted around in her bag for a moment and came out with an envelope. It was stiff and nearly square, from a greeting card, probably. She opened the flap and pulled out a photograph. She held it neatly between her thumb and her forefinger and put her little fist on the table and adjusted its position until Reacher could see the picture at a comfortable angle.
"Did you see this man?"
she asked. It was another standard 1-hour 6x4 color print, glossy paper, no border, shot on Fuji film, Reacher guessed. Back when it had mattered for forensic purposes, he had gotten pretty good at recognizing film stock by its color biases. This print had strong greens, which was a Fuji characteristic. Kodak products favored the reds and the warmer tones. The camera had been a decent unit with a proper glass lens. There was plenty of detail. Focus was not quite perfect. The choice of aperture was not inspired. The depth of field was neither shallow nor deep. An old SLR, Reacher thought. Therefore, bought second-hand or borrowed from an older person. There was no retail market for decent film cameras anymore. Everyone had moved into digital technology. The print in the girl's hand was clearly recent, but it looked like a much older product. It was a pleasant but unexceptional picture from an old SLR loaded with Fuji color and wielded by an amateur. He took the print from the girl and held it between his own thumb and forefinger. The bright greens in the photograph were in a background expanse of grass and a foreground expanse of T-shirt. The grass looked watered and forced and manicured and was probably in a city park somewhere. The T-shirt was a cheap cotton product, being worn by a thin guy of about 19 or 20. The camera was looking up at him, as if the photograph was being taken by a much shorter person. The guy was posing quite formally and awkwardly. There was no spontaneity in his stance. Maybe repeated fumbles with the camera's controls had required him to hold his position a little too long. His smile was genuine, but a little frozen. He had white teeth and a brown face. He looked young and friendly and amiable and fun to be around and completely harmless. Not thin, exactly. He looked lean and wiry. Not short, not tall. About average in terms of height. He looked to be about 5'8". He looked to weigh about 140 pounds. He was Hispanic, but as much Mayan or Aztec as Spanish. There was plenty of pure Indian blood in him, that was for sure. He had shiny black hair, not brushed, a little tousled, neither long nor short, maybe an inch and a half or 2 inches, with a clear tendency to wave. He had prominent cheekbones. He was casually dressed and casually turned out. He hadn't shaved. His chin and his upper lip were rough with black stubble. His cheeks and his throat, not so much. Young. Not much more than a boy. The girl asked,
"Did you see him?"
Reacher asked,
"What's your name?" "My name?"
"Yes."
"Maria."
"What's his name?"
"Rafael Ramirez."
"Is he your boyfriend?"
"Yes." "How old is he?" 20.
"Did you take this picture?"
"Yes."
"In a park in San Diego?"
"Yes."
"With your dad's camera?"
"My uncle's. How did you know?"
Reacher didn't answer. He looked again at Rafael Ramirez in the photograph. Maria's boyfriend. 20 years old. 5'8", 140. The build. The hair, the cheekbones, the stubble. The girl asked,
"Did you see him?"
Reacher shook his head. "No, I didn't see him.